That's some good stuff, isn't it? Regeneration. Could we kneel together to pray before we start? Father in heaven, we do again kneel before you in Jesus' name, because it's only because of what Jesus Christ has done for us that we stand here pure and clean, holy, regenerated, new heart, new life, new desires, new goals, all those things, Lord. It's only because of your mercy upon us. Thank you for that. We ask that you would continue to speak to us. God, we're here today. You know where all of us are. And I just ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would speak to us by your Spirit. Somehow these scriptures that we look at, would you help us to connect with them? And I ask, Lord, that you would do these things in our hearts. Father, we know that you have much higher ground than where we're at today. We know that. We ask that you would help us to move forward and strive for that. I ask that you would take these couple loaves and fishes and multiply them. We ask that you would be with those that are gone today, traveling various places. Lord, be with Dry and Mary and Joel and Esther and Ruth. Ask, Lord, that you would be with all of us, God. We want to humble ourselves before you. We want to be Christ-like. We want to be a light and testimony for you. In Jesus' name, amen. It is good to see everyone here this morning. Bright, shining faces. And I trust the joy of the Lord in the hearts. Change lives, regenerate it. I've been looking at this word regeneration, and I'd like to this morning, maybe this teaching here this morning will be a little bit different than what I normally do. There's a whole lot of verses that I'd like to look at, and I'm going to need your help this morning as we do that. And we're going to be calling on a lot of people to look up verses, and because there's a lot of scriptures we want to look at here this morning as we go through this. But for an opening scripture, would you turn with me to the book of Titus, chapter 3. This word regeneration is used twice in scripture. By the way, welcome to everyone here. I do see there's a bunch of visitors here, some from Pennsylvania. And by the way, I think that announcement today was from your fellowship, isn't that right? The Petersheims from the Church of Ephrata. Very good. Titus chapter 3, this word is used, and I think we'll just read a couple verses before that. In Titus chapter 3, in verse 5, it shows up, but I think we're going to start reading in verse 1, where it says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish." We were disobedient, right? Anyone here that's been foolish? Anyone here that's been disobedient? anyone here that's been deceived? Serving divers lusts, or all kinds of lusts, and pleasures. Anyone here that used to serve the pleasures of this life? Living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. That's how we were. But then the kindness of God appeared to us. Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Well, that's sort of a good thing, isn't it? Regeneration. And regeneration, there's another word that can be used, is rebirth. Change. I'd like to maybe describe us this morning in this manner. And if we consider us the change that has come into our lives, I'd like for you to use an illustration here. Is there anyone here that likes worms? Raise your hand if you like worms. Okay, we've got one. Is there anyone else here that likes worms? I wonder why. We've got one brother that likes worms. Okay. I mean, if I have a worm crawling up on me, I mean, I get creepy. I seriously do. If I realize there's something crawling on the back of me, I get all creepy. I don't like worms. A little bit like snakes. I hate snakes. It's in a similar family. Okay, but consider, we're talking about regeneration, how we were before we were born of the Spirit of God, okay? And I like to use this illustration of a worm. Now, since I'm such a good artist, I'm not sure how to do all this, but you know, most people don't like those, right? Most people don't like them. We don't like them. Why? It's not that they're ugly, but they're ugly. I don't know, they're just creepy. I like to suggest that before the Spirit and power of God came upon us, that's how we were, right? You know, we go out on the streets, we meet people, and we hear the things that come out of their life, and that come out of their mouth, and it's shocking, right? It's repulsive. It's, we want to stay far away from it. And, you know, there's sin sometimes looks tempting and appetizing, although all those things, you know, there's temptations, you know, in the middle of all that. But isn't that how we were? We were like this worm. And, you know, I don't know. It just, not very nice. That's how we were. All of us. We were like that ugly worm, distasteful, sinful. All these sins coming out of our life, like it says here. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. It says we were foolish. We were disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But, after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, after the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, I know that there's many of us that know what happens to some of these worms. Children, how many of you have experimented with these little worms, and when they've spun and then done the little cocoon thing, and out comes something different? Raise your hand if you've seen that happen. How many have seen that happen? Children, okay? Yeah, there's various ones. Various ones have seen that. Yep. Okay, not all. Let me just explain this to you. Not all the children have seen this, okay? But let me explain this, children. You need to get this. These ugly little worms, they crawl around, and not all worms do this, but there's a certain kind of worm, there's a certain kind of worm that, actually, you know, I looked up this word metamorphosis, and this is actually, there's about, I'm not sure how many, there's quite a few different, it's not just butterflies that this kind of thing happens to. There's various insects that this kind of thing happens to, where it goes through a dramatic change, and on the other side, something comes out that's very, very different than what it was, okay? But a butterfly is one that we relate to the closest. Oh, but children, this is what happens. This is what happens, is this worm will one day, it'll, on a tree, a branch or something, or a leaf, it'll hang itself on there, and all of a sudden it'll spin its little cocoon, as a cocoon, whatever you call it, and in here, instead of being a worm, there's like this big pocket that forms all around the worm. Okay, children? This pocket forms around it. And it's there for a number of days. And inside this pocket, if you watch it, every day you watch it real close. You watch it real close. And all of a sudden it starts to become brown, more brownish. In the beginning, it was, you know, it's very green. Isn't that right, Reuben? In the beginning, it's very green. And then all of a sudden, it starts browning up a bit. And all of a sudden, it just sort of opens up. And in a matter of about a half an hour to an hour, there's something else comes up out of there. Who can tell me what comes out? Children, I don't know if I can draw, since I'm such a good artist here. Okay. Those wings might be a little bit big. Ooh. I don't even know. You can figure out what that is, children. That's pretty crude. It's not a bird. Not a bird. What is it, children? Yes, a butterfly. No one likes birds in here, or no one likes worms except Jared, okay? No one likes worms in here except Jared. But who likes butterflies? Everyone raise your hand if you like butterflies. Look at that. That's amazing. Isn't that amazing? That out of an ugly worm, this thing spins into this little cocoon, and a number of days later, this beautiful butterfly, and you know, if you look at, you know, well, children, you know what it's all about. I mean, those things are so beautiful. You know, you look at those wings, they're so perfect. The colors on it are phenomenal, and there's lots and lots of different kinds of butterflies. But let me just tell you, that is a picture of regeneration. That is a picture of what our lives were, distasteful, ugly. No one, it's disgusting. And when that regeneration comes into our life, we become this, what I'm going to call a butterfly, and it's such a beautiful thing. Let me ask you this. You know, we were talking about how distasteful it is. We talk to men that are people that are not converted and not regenerated and not, and they don't have that changed life, and it's repulsive. Who likes to be around people who have been regenerated? Raise your hand. Oh, it's such a blessing, isn't it? It's such a blessing. And we're going to talk about what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at a lot of verses that describe this regeneration. And we're going to look at it from a lot of different angles, different words that the Bible uses to describe this regeneration. So regeneration is like a broad word. But we're going to look at it, at this changed life, from a lot of different angles. It's a little bit like this church house. Everyone likes this church house, right? I mean, we get in here and we sing and our voices ring. There's great acoustics and there's a lot of things that you could describe that you like about this church house. What are they? I mean, do you have some things that you could describe about this church house that you like? What do you like about this church house? I mean, wooden ceilings, yeah. I mean, they don't do those things nowadays, yeah. It's dry in here when it's raining. There's all kinds of unique, wonderful things that we can talk about this church house. Well, that's what we like to do this morning when we look at this word regeneration. We'd like to just open the Bible and look at scriptures that describe what has happened. And let me just tell you, if you're here this morning and you have not experienced this change, if you're still a worm and you don't have that changed life and you're trying to come to church on a Sunday morning and put on the right clothes and dress just right and the words that come out of your life, you want to say all the right things and you haven't had that change, it's so difficult and it's so hard and the change still isn't there, right? But once that regeneration has taken place in our heart, all of a sudden, things are different. There's a changed life. There's a changed perspective. On and on we can go. Okay, what I like to do here is I need volunteers. We're going to do something different this morning. We're just going to have a little Bible study. Can we do that this morning? We'll have a little Bible study. And so you be ready to raise your hand. And what I'm going to do, if you raise your hand, I'll give you a scripture verse. And then you look it up. And I won't keep track of who I give the verses to. But when we're ready to look at that verse, I'll call on that verse. And then you read that verse out loud. Okay? Want to look at John chapter 3, verse 3. Raise your hand. Yes, Brother Nathan. 1 Peter 1:23. Raise your hand. Yes, Peter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Reuben. Galatians 6, verse 15. Sil. James chapter 1, verse 18. Yes, Cornelius. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Brother David. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Wolf. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Josh. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Japheth. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Jeremy. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Joshua in the back. Okay, we'll start with that. Okay. So we're looking here at descriptions of this regeneration. Words that the Bible uses to describe this changed life that we have. We're going to look at all these different verses. Okay. The first one we're going to look at has to do with the term being born again. Who has a word? John chapter 3, verse 3. Yes.
Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Isn't that quite the verse? It says, except a man be born again. Born again. Born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay, 1 Peter 1:23.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Okay, so we're looking at this term, and I know this is, for some, this is very elementary. But I think we need to consider these words and look at them very carefully, right? Being born again. Now, where do we have the latest born child here in our midst this morning? Who has the latest born child? Do we know?
Nathan Penrose.
Nathan Penrose. They're not here this morning, are you? They're here, Nathan? I don't think they're here. Who's prior to that? Lucas. How old is he? 13 months. Okay. We'll take little Lucas here as an example. How many think he was born two times? Anyone think he was born two times? Everyone shakes their head. How many think that that little Lucas here was born one time? We all raise our hands. He had a natural birth, right? He had a natural birth. He was born, and all of a sudden, there's this little tiny baby. And I know mom and dad were pretty excited when that happened, right, brother? There was lots of excitement. And this little tiny baby was born. The tiny baby was born. And so, in our room here this morning, these children, they're growing up. We have children at all ages here. They come on up through, they grow up. And as the time goes on, guess what? There's lots of characteristics that come out that portray this little worm. Right? And not only that portray that, on the inside of us, there's a heart that looks like a worm. Right? On the inside of us, it's a heart that's full of sin. There's a heart that's full of all this wickedness. There's a heart that just, you know, it's like this worm. It's ugly. No one likes it. And I don't like it, right? We don't like the things that come out of our life. We don't like it. But we're stuck with it. Well, here in John chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Now, how many times is that? Is that for the first birth or for the second or for the third? If it says being born again, what does that mean? Anyone? The second birth. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Is there anyone here that does not want to see the kingdom of God? Raise your hand. No one. Everyone wants to see the kingdom of God. And so, what needs to happen? Somehow, we need to come from this caterpillar worm to become a butterfly, right? Okay. So here, this word regeneration, the word being born again describes that. Regeneration, being born again. It's being born the second time. And we could have a whole message on all that, but I'm not going there this morning. And I'm not here to describe how to become born again. We can. There's all kinds of things we can talk about there, but we won't go there this morning. But except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Corruptible seed is simply our bodies. Not of corruptible seed, but by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Beautiful words. Okay, I'd like to move on. the next thing we'd like to look at here is what the Bible calls a new creature. Okay, we were talking about being born again. Now it uses a different term, a new creature. Let's read the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Galatians 6:15.
For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature.
Now, does this describe what we're talking about, a new creature? This is the old creature, and this is a new creature. There's a regeneration. There's an old life and a new life. It's a transformation that comes, that our life is changed. There's a second birth. He uses the term a new creature. Okay? Here's another term that's used, begotten. Let's read the verse in James 1:18. James 1:18.
Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
Okay. He begat us. So if we become born again by the Spirit of God, we become a new creature. We are begotten of God. Who can tell me the term that God used of Jesus? Yes.
Only begotten Son.
So God used the term of Jesus Christ, and he said, he's my only begotten Son. Or he comes out of me. He comes from me. And so when we become born of the Spirit of God, we become born again, we've experienced this regeneration. We come out from God. There's something inside of us that comes from God. There's that change. It's not our flesh. Well, yes, we have flesh, but there's that changed life is from God. It's begotten of God. Of his own will, he begat us with the word of God, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Here's another term, begotten again. Begotten again. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 3. First Peter 1 verse 3 says,
"Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead."
He, because of the abundant mercy, he has begotten us again. So in another words, when this little baby was born, when this little Lucas was born, God, you know, that in itself was a miracle of God, and he was begotten of God. But this is begotten again. This is a new birth. This is this changed life we're talking about. Titus 3 in verse 5 talks about the washing of regeneration. Who has Titus 3 verse 5? Yes.
"Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost."
Now, you know, it uses the term washing of regeneration. And there are people who have this belief that the waters of baptism literally washes sins away. And they use some of these verses like this to say that. But look at the ending of this verse here. It says, "and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." So it's the renewing of the Holy Ghost within us that does that washing of regeneration. It's not the water that washes our sins away. It's the blood of Jesus that washes our sins away. And that he sends his Spirit to indwell us and to make us that new creature. And he puts this little seed inside of us. So a part of God is inside of us, and then we're born of his Spirit, and we have a new, how do I describe it? A new birth. We have new desires. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I mean, when I became born again, let me tell you, I could tell you that story, but I'm going to tell you here at the end of this month, we'll share a story. So I'll wait on that, okay? But there's something that happened when I became born again. I mean, I remember the next morning, I felt like going and telling the whole world what happened. I mean, something happened inside of me. My life was transformed. I mean, literally, the grass looked greener and the sun looked brighter. Literally. It just, there's a transformation that happened inside of me. Here's another term. We're looking at different terms and expressions that are used in regards to this regeneration. Here's another one, newness of life. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Romans 6, verse 4. Yes, up front here. Romans 6, verse 4.
"Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, the like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life."
We should walk in newness of life. I remember some time ago, I had the privilege of someone called me and said, "Hey, you know, could you have come help me?" And we spent all day at their house, and it was sort of a trying situation. But this brother, his wife got born again that day. His wife got born again by the Spirit of God. And prior to that, I remember at work, with tears coming down his cheeks, he would tell me, He said, Mark, I'm not sure what to do. He said, my wife, she's, you know, she doesn't have it. She's resisting God. She has no desire for spiritual things. That's what he would say. And after we were able to spend that time and that woman met God, guess what? 2 days later, he called me in the evening and he said, Mark, I have to tell you, it's all there. It's all there. That changed life. Her interests are totally changed. Her desires are all new. There's a changed life there. Wow. Newness of life. Does that describe it? Right? Newness of life. Here's another term that's used. Created in Christ Jesus is another term that's used. Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 10. Ephesians 2 verse 10. Yes.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Now, here he uses the word created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, I'm not sure why all this is. I think it's reaction and I think it comes from the devil, okay? But I keep hearing for the last 20 years, off and on, I keep hearing this resistance against good works. There's this resistance against promoting good works. There's this resistance against lifting up godliness and having it as an expectation. Here it says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're created in Christ, and the expectation is that a whole lot of good works is going to come bubbling out of our life. This changed life, it'll come bubbling out of our life. You know, is that a word, you know, that's, and I'm expressing it wrong, bubbling? there ought to be a changed life, brothers, right? I mean, you know, we shouldn't be caterpillars anymore. You know, if we've been regenerated, our expectation is that butterfly won't be crawling around on the floor all the time, right? On the tree all the time. There's going to be a change. He's going to get up and fly. And guess what happens? They say that when that butterfly comes out of the cocoon, it almost can't fly. So guess what it does? Gets out there and waves its wings. And its blood flows in there. Waves its wings some more. And, you know, it does this. Isn't that how newborn babies do sometimes, you know, for a while? Wave their wings. Try to fly. Right? Okay. But let me tell you, if they just keep doing that for the next 10 years and they don't get up and fly, we're going to be pretty concerned, right? Brother, you're going to be pretty concerned if your little Lucas doesn't start walking after a year or two, right? Okay, there's an expectation of change. When our sins get washed away, when we now have the Spirit of God in our hearts, there's an expectation of change. And even though that change that comes won't be where we're going to be at 10 years from now, we can tell a change. And unless there's a continued growth, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. We're created unto good works. Here's another term that's used, the divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Jeremy. 2 Peter 1, verse 4.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Partakers of the divine nature. That is a beautiful thing. Partakers of the divine nature. We become a part. His spirit, that divine nature, it becomes a part of us. We've escaped it. Now let me clarify some things. Actually, no, there's one more here. A new heart. A new heart. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Who has Ezekiel 36? Yes, Joshua.
A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh.
A new heart will I give you. We have an old, sinful, stony heart, and in place of that, he gives us a new heart. So these are all expressions of the change. I mean, let me tell you, that's some good stuff. This is some good stuff. This is a bunch of... I don't know. There's some people that just like to be worms, right? God forbid, but like to stay worms. Praise the Lord. We can become something beautiful. A new heart. A new heart also will I give you. Now let me just consider a couple things. Regeneration, this changed life, is not just a reformation, a reformation. It's not. It's not just changing a bunch of externals. It's not. Even though that's a part of the change, that's a result of some of the change that comes inside, an exterior change is not the regeneration. It never is. And I think all of us know people who profess to be Christians, but they're not, but they don't have this regeneration, right? All of us know people who say, I'm a Christian, and yet you know there's something inside of their hearts that has not changed and they're still worms, even though there's a bunch of stuff that has changed. That's sad. Regeneration is not mere conviction of sin. You know how it is sometimes. We hear God speaking to us, and God speaks to us, and we say, Lord, I want to change. And God help me to change. Okay? Is that regeneration? That's a right desire, but that in itself is not regeneration. Regeneration is when we experience that changed life. Regeneration is when we have that new birth. It's when we have that newness of life. It's when we have that, we change from being a worm to being a butterfly. Regeneration is not joining church. Regeneration is not living a moral life. Regeneration is not just embracing some teachings and doctrines that the church puts out or that the Bible puts out. Regeneration is when that changed life takes place within us. This work of regeneration, there's evidences that follow. And I'm going to have to just go down through here very quickly, and I won't take the time. I would love to have more people read some verses here, but I'm not going to take the time to do that because I'm going to try to go through here quickly because it's time to quit already. Regeneration, there's evidences that follow. Do you believe that?
Amen.
There's evidences that follow. It's not just say, oh, I'm changed. Oh, I've become born again. Oh, no, there's clear evidences that there's a changed life. First of all, there's righteousness there. There's righteousness that comes out. 1 John 2, verse 29 says, But if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Okay? There is righteousness that comes out of our life. It's the evidence of being regenerated, born again, having that new life, however you want to call it. There's evidences. Acts 10, verse 34 says, Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. It's a result of that regeneration. Matthew 5, verse 14 says, Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light to all that are in the house. Brothers and sisters, if we have that regenerated life, people will be able to see that there's light coming out of your life. There's evidence there, right? And I'm going to say that sometimes there are people who say, I'm regenerated, I'm born again, but there's no light coming out of there. Let me just tell you, if that's the case, there's something wrong. Either you haven't been regenerated and moved from being a worm to a butterfly, or you've backslid, or there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Right? There's something wrong. There's clear evidences. Ye are the light of the world. It giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Here's another one, an evidence. A sinless life. A sinless life. Now, what do you make out of this verse? 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Well, that doesn't mean what it says. Well, we could explain some of that. I won't take a lot of time to explain it, but I'll say this, okay? The way I understand that verse is that verse is talking about continued living in sin. It's not talking about slipping and then rising up and going on, but it's talking about habitual sin. The scripture leaves plenty of room for our shortcomings that we have, but it does not give room for purposeful sinning. Am I saying that right? The scripture, if we have that transformed life, the scripture does not give room for purposeful continued living in sin. There's something wrong. And evidence of a new life is living in victory, walking in godliness. Romans 8, verse 1 says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Let me tell you, there are some people that say, I'm a butterfly, but they're walking after the flesh. But after the Spirit, walking after the Spirit of God. And as we walk after the Spirit of God, there's this transformation that comes. Oh, as we walk in after the Spirit of God empowers us to live above sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4 says, "And these things write unto you that your joy may be full. This then is a message which ye have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. But if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness," listen to this, "if we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Brothers, if we have this transformed life, we make conscious decisions to walk in the light. We make conscious decisions to be honest. We make conscious decisions to just live above sin. And if we fail, we do whatever it takes to overcome. We're here to live a godly life. Evidences of a changed life. Galatians 5:24 says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and lusts." And by the way, that didn't just happen back there some 20-some years ago for me. It didn't just happen back there. That happens for me every day. Every day. Every day. "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." They that are Christ do not sin willfully or go against a better knowledge. They don't just willfully live in sin. But there's a clear moving away from sin, walking in godliness. An evidence for this changed life is a Spirit-led life. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, all those horrible, wicked sins. You know those horrible ones? It mentions they that were, now the works of the flesh. It says the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike. Those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit in a person's life is peace. It's joy. It's long-suffering. It's gentleness. It's goodness. It's faith. It's meekness. It's temperance. The fruits are vastly different. It's walking in obedience. The fruit of a transformed life is walking in obedience. And there's a whole bunch of verses. The fruit of a transformed life is love. Loving our brothers, loving God. The fruit of a transformed life is hatred for evil, hatred for sin. The fruit of a transformed life is faith. Faith in God, faith in His Word, trusting Him. The fruit of a transformed life is a victorious Christian life. Regeneration. We look at a lot more scriptures, right? I haven't touched them all, just a couple. Regeneration. It's exciting. It's the way to go. It's the only way that we will make it. It is a necessity. Lord, help us to, if we have not found that, find it. And if we have, rise up and walk in faith and not shrink back in unbelief and wallowing back into sin. Let's be God-fearing. Lord, bless us all.